Romaine Quinn was a rising star in the state legislature. He came into office by beating the Democratic incumbent by 10 percentage points in 2014 and has had two 24-point wins in the two elections since. He was vice chair of the Republican caucus. But Romaine Quinn decided not to run for re-election, and that's caused his 75th Assembly District race to be one of the bellwether races in the state as Democrats see an opportunity to get back that seat they lost in 2014. Today, we spend the hour with the two candidates hoping to become the next state representative of the 75th District on this special joint episode of Simply Superior and the West Side. And a good morning to you. I'm Dean Kallenbach. I'm the weekly host of The West Side, which is a regional issues-based program for West Central Wisconsin. And I'm happy to be adding the audience of Simply Superior, our weekly journalism talk show in northern Wisconsin, as my colleague Robin Washington enjoys a week off. Thanks for joining us. Our guests today are Republican David Armstrong of Rice Lake. He's currently the executive director of the Barron County Economic Development Corporation. He's a former Rice Lake City Council member and presides over the Rice Lake Cable Commission. He also serves on the city's Utility Commission and Tourism Commission and is on the board of the Rice Lake Chamber of Commerce. David Armstrong, welcome to the West Side.
Thank you.
Also with us today, Democrat John Ellenson of Shell Lake. He earned his bachelor's degree from the University of Wisconsin-Madison, where he captained the Badger basketball team. He earned his master's degree in school counseling at UW-Superior and is currently a school counselor serving in the Barron Area School District. John Ellenson, good to have you with us.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having us.
The 75th Assembly District includes all of Barron County and parts of Washburn, Burnett, and Polk counties. Cities in the district include Rice Lake, Barron, Spooner, Chautauqua, Cumberland, and Shell Lake, with the villages of Cameron, Turtle Lake, Clear Lake, Almena, Prairie Farm, Birchwood, Dallas, Haugen, and part of New Auburn in the district. A big part of this exercise in democracy is your opportunity to ask questions of the candidates. There are two ways you can do so. One is by calling us at 800-228-5615. That's 800-228-5615. The other is to email us at ideas@wpr.org. That's ideas@wpr.org. So let's begin. David Armstrong, you are running to replace the incumbent for the 75th Assembly, Republican Romaine Quinn, who has chosen not to run again. While he's not running his own campaign, he is treasurer for yours. So talk about your decision to run for Assembly.
Sure. For the last 8 years or so, I've been immersed in housing, workforce, poverty, health care, and other issues due to my work as economic development director. I know the issues intimately, but more importantly, I've created solutions for them. Many times this has led me to go down to Madison and ask for assistance from elected officials in the form of either new legislation or tweaks to existing legislation, or frankly, help with state agencies. Doing this, I realized that I could work directly in Madison to bring change and opportunity to the district and to the state when the current representative, Romaine Quinn, announced he was not seeking re-election. So that's basically what brought me here.
Very well. John Ellenson, why are you interested in getting into state politics?
It goes back. It goes back a few decades, and my father was in education, and he always wanted to make an impact on society, and I wanted to do the same thing. And when I was in up on Bascom Hill in a hall, I was listening to a lecture, and I listened to the professor talk about the first 3 years of a child's life, how 80% of the brain is wired. And that was my aha moment. Like, I could make a difference in people's lives by working with children and working with families, and that's really shaped my life and how I've led it and how I've raised my own family, how I've gotten into education. I studied child and family studies. I got my bachelor's of science in it from UW-Madison, stayed at home with the kids, helped raise them, and then went back to school to get my master's in education. And it's through that course that I've seen and worked with families. I've worked with families on a number of different issues. I was a resource counselor earlier in my career and helped families with housing and economics and jobs and careers. And when this opened up, I knew that I had been thinking about running for office, And when this opened up, I realized that this was an opportunity to really help families and make changes to the structure of families, to help build the foundation of them. And I've always put family first. And when I saw this, the opening for the 75th, I knew I could make change on a bigger level for more families. And so that's why I got into this race. And that's what I want to do for families, is help families, help communities, and help our economy grow.
You both have experience in working on community organizations or on community boards at various levels. John Ellenson, describes some of your work serving on boards and what that might bring to your work as a legislator.
I think when you work on a board, you're working with a team, and you're trying to find out solutions to problems. You identify those problems, look at the problems that you can solve, and then go forward with solutions. I've worked on numerous boards, working with families, working with people with disabilities, working with Native Americans. And in all of those boards, it's how you work together on a team is how successful you're going to be. And looking back on my career and some of the things that we've accomplished, both in education and outside of education, being a good teammate, being a good leader, finding out what those solutions are and working together is what I bring to the legislature and what I'll bring to our communities, being able to find out our different resources, using our skills, looking for people who have those skills, and bringing us all together.
David Armstrong, you work for Barron County Economic Development Corporation, and you've been a city council member in Rice Lake. How will your experience there factor into your work as a legislator as you think of how local government works?
Well, I guess it's going to play a big role. You know, in addition to those things, I helped start the Heart of the North legislative group about 8 years ago. We didn't fit well with either the Valley Rally or Superior Days, and so we kind of created our own. So four counties, Barron, Rusk, Sawyer, and Washburn, got together, and throughout the year we work on issues, and then each February we take a bus full or so of people down to Madison and work on local issues. It seems like we got something done pretty much every year, which has been great. You know, in addition to that, I was asked to be on the Wisconsin Rural Partners Board. That one's been fascinating because it's basically all rural, all Wisconsin. So the issues are common to what we find here in the 75th, but then you've got, you know, tweaks on those issues or some issues that we don't necessarily have from around the state that come through Wisconsin Rural Partners as well. So that's been eye-opening, but then it's also created a different level of discussions both at the, you know, the State Association of Counties, the cities, and then again down in Madison. One that's been interesting here has been a group called CCP, Community Connections to Prosperity. I was on the original board that started that four years ago or so, and then I got off last year when I found I could do things on housing, transportation, a few of the other things kind of separate from the board. But that's a group that was established originally to help people move from poverty to prosperity. And that's one that's been eye-opening as far as the challenges, especially rural, you know, especially us, when it comes to getting some of the things that need to be done to help people move up the scale.
That's the voice of David Armstrong. He's the Republican, and John Ellenson is the Democrat. They're running for the 75th District Assembly seat. Your chance to talk to them, 800-228-5615, 800-228-5615, or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. Steve from Rice Lake is on the line, and we'll get to his call next. But I do think I need to kind of deal with the elephant in the room a little bit. This race got statewide attention last month when columnist David Bice of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel did a column about you, David Armstrong, having posted via social media 5 years ago a video featuring former Ku Klux Klan leader David Duke on what was called Slavery's Dirtiest Secrets Exposed, which claimed that blacks are more likely than whites to have owned slaves. That same year, you came out on social media critical of your own party's members of Congress vote to ban Confederate flags at national cemeteries. Now the state Democratic Party has created a website with the URL therealdavearmstrong.com featuring a number of your posts, which they claim reveal a, quote, dark history of racism, misogyny, and outrageous conspiracy theories, end quote. So, David Armstrong, before we move on to other issues, I want to give you a chance to take all the time you need to respond to the criticism you've received for your social media posts.
Sure. All right. When I posted that, I had gotten a call from the Wisconsin, where it was the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, reporter asking me about a post 5 years ago. I said, oh, my God, I don't remember a post 5 years ago. He sent me a link on it. And when I looked at that, you know, I didn't really remember it all that well. But as I went through it, number one, the only person I even knew on that video was Henry Louis Gates. Right? That's somebody that I've watched on PBS. He does ancestry shows that are fascinating.
Right?
Didn't know, I think there was four people on the video altogether. Didn't know the second one. The third one was a black gentleman, apparently of the Black Conservative Caucus, and then finally it ended up being David Duke. You know, I wouldn't know David Duke if he came up to my door. So from that standpoint, I didn't listen to the video all the way through it. Shouldn't have posted it not knowing who was in it completely. And when I was confronted with it here and through Bice's article, apologize for it because I should have looked through, you know, watched the whole video to the end and worked on it. You know, my work here, as well as in the past, has brought me in contact with just peoples of all backgrounds, all races, religions. I treat everyone the same with respect and dignity. In this district, we are blessed with a fair amount of diversity, which doesn't happen a lot in rural Wisconsin. You know, we've got our Native American, Somali, Spanish, and now a growing number of Filipinos. I work with all of these groups right now and consider members of each my friends. If you ask the folks, you'll find no signs of disrespect from me. This has only basically been coming, like you mentioned, in the form of a political axe, people with political axe to grinds, like I've seen from the Democrat Party here, and I just was sent the parent website that the state Democrat Party created. I got that last night, so that one was new to me. So I guess when you look at it, that's my background. I've always been around all peoples of all different religions and had friends with each. My first wife was Chinese, so I mean, this whole thing has been brought up and blown into just a mess, to be honest with you.
Thank you, John Ellenson. Before we move on to other issues, in fairness, do you care to comment on the controversy surrounding David Armstrong's social media posts?
Well, you know, when I was asked by David Bice about, or Daniel Bice about what he had said, and I was shocked. I'm like, David Duke? I couldn't believe it. And then I kept thinking, oh my gosh, you know, he's running for office and he's put out these things. And I thought, does he not know that people are going to look into his history? And I felt like, I think he would know that people are going to go back and they're going to check out what you've written and what you've said. And so part of my, I had empathy for David. It's like, he must have known this, that people were going to look at it. And I was shocked. And then that he didn't know who David Duke was. I'm like, when you wrote it, you were 53 years old. I thought, I'm 52. I've known who David Duke is for decades. And so you ask for forgiveness. I understand that. And then a week later, you're calling it fake news and a hoax. So I'm not sure, you know, what to believe. I just know that I know who I am and what I stand for. I stand for all people. Every child that comes through my door, no matter what race, what religion, what color, I care for them unconditionally. I want the best for them. I want the best for their parents, their mothers, their fathers, their grandparents. And so that's why I'm into this race. I can say that I care about all families. And I'm sorry for what Dave's going through. You know, my heart goes out to you that you have to explain this at the age of 58, but I'm thankful for the life I've led over the last 52 years. So
we're talking We're talking to the candidates in the 75th Assembly District. The voice you just heard is John Ellenson. He's the Democrat from Shell Lake. David Armstrong is the Republican from Rice Lake. We're going to get into issues conversation right after our break. You can join the conversation, as Steve from Rice Lake did. He's the first one coming out. After the break, we'll hear from him. 800-228-5615, 800-228-5615, if you'd like to ask your question. Or you can email it to ideas@WPR.org, ideas@WPR.org. I'm Dean Kallenbach. This is special election programming on the West Side and Simply Superior on Wisconsin Public Radio. We're back with our legislative debate between the two candidates in the 75th Assembly District, David Armstrong of Rice Lake and John Ellenson of Shell Lake. And your chance to call, 800-228-5615. We're joined now by Steve in Rice Lake. Steve, thanks for calling. What's your question for the candidates?
Thanks, Dean. I appreciate it. In this area, northern Wisconsin, we have an issue with people being able to afford housing, people who have come to this area to work in our factories and so on. And they have problems trying to find decent, affordable housing. I know this is something that Dave has worked on. I'd like to hear more about that, about what he's done and what he plans to do when he gets to Madison, or if Mr. Ellenson has any thoughts on the issue. Thank you.
Let's start on this one with David Armstrong and then move to John Ellenson. David Armstrong, your comments on the workforce housing shortage in the 75th.
Yeah, unfortunately, this is something I could go on forever, but I won't. With the housing side, we started probably about 3 years ago or so on it. Perpetually in Barron County, we had roughly 500 to 550 open jobs. Couldn't fill those jobs. We just didn't have enough people. So that kind of led to, all right, well, how do we go out and find more workers, which led quickly to, if they come, where exactly are we going to put them? And that's what started me, like I said, probably about 3 years ago in earnest on a housing search. So what we've done at this point is...
Hello?
Hello?
Go ahead.
I'm John here, but I'm here in the...
Oh, okay. Sorry. I apologize for that. Apparently Steve dropped off. That's okay. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. So anyways, what we ended up doing at that point is I invited five state agencies up here. We had meetings with Turtle Lake, Cumberland, Rice Lake, Barron, and Chautauqua, with the cities, with employers in there. Number of other groups sat in as well. And we worked on all the needs for each of the communities, and it was fascinating because the state agency said that it was the first time they'd ever met in a group with communities and businesses to look for solutions to problems. Well, what that did, though, was it started money and expertise flowing from the state. We ended up getting a grant, 50% of a grant, to do a countywide housing study. Once we got that done, that proved what we thought was happening, 0% availability in rental units. In affordable housing, which I'll kind of classify as, say, your $100,000 to $175,000, no availability there. What was available in decent shape was gone immediately as soon as it got on the market. The other ones that needed work sat for a while. Well, we ended up putting together solutions for the ones that sat a while with help from WIDA in the form of grants and loans to help fix up the existing houses. Also brought in zero down or very low down, like 3% down programs from both WIDA and USDA to help the lower moderate income afford housing. But on top of that, we had problems. All of rural Wisconsin had problems with WIDA in the way that they score housing projects up here. We had brought one of the old nursing homes here in Rice Lake that the city had bought. We had brought that to the state, to a developer that I had found down in Madison, and they put together a proposal to rehabilitate that but then build new housing. We quickly found out that Rice Lake was the only city
outside of like Superior and some of the others in all of Northwest Wisconsin, unless you got Madison or down in Eau Claire or Chippewa, that could even score to get a help from WIDA on what's called a low-income housing tax credit loan to put low to moderate income in. Well, we solved that problem as well. We score now, so do other communities. So basically what we've done so far is we've got one project that just went in from Rice Lake for about 100 units for workforce housing, another project that's going in December, that old nursing home there, for low to moderate income, and then City of Chautauqua just last night, you know, Wednesday night, had three proposals from developers for both low to moderate income and workforce housing. Now, there's still a huge problem we've got to deal with, which is some changes to TID law that allow all the cities to add housing. But that's one that I worked on last year, didn't get it quite done, but something I'm going to take another run at this next session.
John Ellenson, your views on what can be done, what the legislature can do to help with housing, particularly the housing shortages that have arisen through the special circumstances that occur in the 75th Assembly District.
Well, when you look at my campaign, what I talk about is jobs, health care, and housing. That's the foundation that all families need to not only survive, but then to thrive. And it goes back to Maslow's hierarchy. You just need that strong foundation for families. And we've known for quite some time that our housing needs in the area, we're desperately in need. Even though we have 75.1% home ownership, it's those low-income houses. And if we have a median of $150,000 per home, but it's those lower-income homes that are certainly aging, so they're in those 50, 60, 70 years where you need new windows, new doors, new roofs, new heating plants. So we need to upgrade those homes as well as build new homes to fill those jobs that are, you know, that starting wage where people are coming out $12, $15 an hour. We know about the affordable housing tax credits. We've seen that work. We've known about WIDA and the zero down and 3%. We've also known about USDA. We know about these programs. We know the need. Now it's been studied and verified that we know about it. The issue is, where are the tax dollars coming to build that? And you've seen in our district and in the past how we've voted for projects that go to southern Wisconsin. And that's a different layer of gerrymandering, but our tax money has gone to southern Wisconsin, and it hasn't necessarily made it back. Now, Barron County and the counties of the 75th are great at producing goods. They're great at manufacturing. We're great at agriculture, and we build a really good tax base. We pay our taxes. It goes to the state, but then it stays in the southern half of the state and doesn't return. We need that tax money to return here. And what they need to understand is that when that tax money returns here and we're able to produce more housing for families, we're going to be able to produce even a bigger tax base. Not only that, it's going to help our communities grow. It's going to help our local economies. So we understand the issues. We understand USDA, WIDA, housing tax credits, the need, all of that. We need our tax money that we pay that goes to southern Wisconsin. We need it to come back here and help us and help our communities. So when I get to the legislature, that is the big thing I'm going to do, is I'm going to fight for the people of northern Wisconsin. And being a Democrat, I can do that. But when you're gerrymandered, and we've been that way for years, our tax money heads south, and it does not come back. So that's what I know I can do for housing and do for the 75th.
Steve from Rice Lake, thank you for your call. Again, there's still room for you to join the conversation at 800-228-5615, 800-228-5615, or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. We're with the candidates for the 75th Assembly District, David Armstrong and John Ellenson. Allie from Cumberland called. She wasn't able to stay on the line, but she wanted to ask about private school vouchers and how we can fund parallel education systems and more broadly speaking about schooling, because both of you mention it on your website as a key element for your campaigns and a key focus for you. During this century so far, Wisconsin has dropped in per pupil spending from 12th place to 24th place. Still, aid to schools is the largest spending category in the state budget. It makes up 35% of tax revenue expenditures. So, John Ellenson, you're in the schools. Talk about your plan for school funding.
Well, it's really quite interesting because they talk about that private tax credit. And in the 75th, we really don't have those private schools. And so when they talk about it going to private schools, it doesn't help us up here because we take pride in our public schools. And you look, if you drive throughout the 75th, whether you go to Cumberland or Shell Lake or Barron, Rice Lake, Cameron, we have wonderful schools, and people take a lot of pride in their schools. And it shows. It's fun to see what the kids are doing and what they're learning. About a decade ago, we saw that defunding of education, and we saw what it did. We went from 12th down to 24th. We're usually first or second in the nation in the ACT test, and we were doing very well, and we've seen that reduction. And I've seen it firsthand because in that last decade, we've gone from having anywhere up to 200 applicants for a job, and at a minimum 50 to 100. And now we see that reduced to maybe two or three or none at all for months on end. Or then we get someone into the position that needs to earn their license. So that defunding of education has hurt education. So when I think about, you know, them doing it to the police department, it's just not a good idea because of just the morale and what it's done to education. We need to fund our schools. Those are good-paying jobs. I think about the men and women I work with who only work 25.5 hours because if you work any longer, then they have to pay health care, and then they have to juggle one job to the next. And these are people that work really hard. They work hard. They work two jobs, and then they have a yard sale to make ends meet. And as a society, we need to step up. We need to pay for our education. We need to help our families grow. We need to build our communities. When we have strong schools, when we have healthy children and healthy families, that makes for a stronger community. A stronger community makes for a stronger economy, a stronger local economy. So supporting our education is just a primary engine for not only innovation, but for a brighter future for all of us. So education, I'm very passionate about. It's something that, as you look around our community, we all care about our schools. There's amazing things going on. So, yes, we do need to fund our schools, and we do need to increase that funding for our communities.
David Armstrong, how should the state support public schools, and where are you on school vouchers?
Actually, what I've been doing right now, it's been fascinating because I've met with three of the administrators from school districts already here in Barron County with that exact reason, that exact question. Right? You need more money. Where do you need the money exactly, and what do you need? And the thing I found is, wow, does it differ from school district to school district? That's been, most eye-opening thing through this whole expedition I've been on, and now I'm going to meet with the rest of them in the next 2 weeks. What I found is, well, one underlying thing was I went back to the Blue Ribbon Commission that they had on education and all of the suggestions that they came out for additional school funding, and again put that to the school districts. And there again, it was interesting because none of them could really agree on, you know, this issue was important to one, another funding issue was important to Rice Lake, Cameron liked another. So that's been my goal at this point, is to reach out to all the school districts, and I would think the low-hanging fruit would be a commission did this work on it. What can the legislature take from that and implement that's going to help? All right. The one thing I found, too, by both my work as president of the Law Enforcement Foundation up here and talking to the schools, is the need for mental health and that kind of experience or expertise in the school districts. The one question I had to all of them is additional help with mental health best served by a school person person on staff, or maybe by CISA or an outside. And kind of uniformly, it's best to have that person in the schools, in the school district, dealing with the schools on a full-time basis. I get that, all right? And that's something that absolutely I'll be working for. We ended up working with the city of Rice, or the Rice Lake School District, last year, because the question came to them of, is there kids that you miss each year? You know, school counselors, you've got, what, one to every, I don't know, 200-300 kids type of thing. So you don't get a lot of work with them. And what we ended up doing in Rice Lake on a pilot program, we brought in workforce resource, put together, they found funding for a person, put together a program where we met from January on until, unfortunately, COVID hit, with 33 of the kids that were maybe on the bubble. Maybe they would graduate, maybe they weren't. No clear pathway going forward out of school. Hadn't done their academic career plans. Maybe they had an idea what they wanted to do after school, but it was unique, let's call it. So what we ended up doing was working every Tuesday, every Thursday, again, from January on, with the idea of, all right, borrow something that we had taken from the poverty to prosperity piece, which was called the bridge to prosperity. The bridge being, all right, here's your goal over here. Let's build the bridge to it. Well, we tweaked that to the school district in Rice Lake and to the kids. And, all right, there was two pillars you had to do. Number one, you have to do your academic career plan. Number two, you have to graduate. All right. And then we worked with them. All right, what's your goal and how do you get there? And it was fascinating to see the change in the kids from the first meeting until we got to the end. And unfortunately, like everybody knows, COVID hit. But at that point, we had every kid graduating, plans for most, but it kind of fell apart. We kept up with a few of them afterwards, but that's the kind of thing, too, is I like to see how much other public-private partnerships can be done to help the school district as well. So I guess to sum it all up, definitely looking for ways to put more funding into school districts, and I'm going to continue my meetings with the administrators and the business managers, because that's been fascinating as well, to see what's needed.
You're listening to the candidates for the 75th Assembly District State Representative position. They are David Armstrong, the voice you just heard from Rice Lake. He's a Republican. The Democrat is John Ellenson of Shell Lake. You can join the conversation at 800-228-5615. We have lines open now if you'd like to join in, 800-228-5615. Or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. We'll hear from Felicity and Patsy, who have emailed us their questions, coming up. I'm Dean Kallenbach. This is a special election program of the 75th Assembly debate on the West Side and Simply Superior on Wisconsin Public Radio. We're back on the 75th Assembly debate with Democrat John Ellenson of Shell Lake and Republican David Armstrong of Rice Lake. They are the candidates to replace Romaine Quinn in the legislature for the fall election. We got an email from Patty. She says, Patsy from Chautauq says, how do you expect to address the legislature's current state of strict party line voting? And I will just say, calls for bipartisanship come up again and again at the state and the national level. David Armstrong, how would you work with your Democratic colleagues in the Assembly?
Honestly, very well, I think. That's the one thing that I've had to do both from the city council perspective and as the director of economic development here, is I've got to get along with everybody, regardless of what their politics are. And I've done very well down in Madison working with both sides to get solutions up here. That was the reason, one of the biggest reasons we got all those department heads up here to meet with the community. So I have no problem whatsoever reaching across the aisle to work with people on solutions.
John Ellenson, if elected to the state assembly, how would you as a Democrat work toward bipartisanship with your Republican colleagues?
I think I've got a history of working on problems and finding solutions and being on some very successful teams, whether it's been athletically or professionally or within the community. So I really enjoy finding good teams and working together and finding the skills that different people have. I think we go back again to this gerrymandering piece, and you think about the legislature. They have not met for 160 days, and so there's that bipartisanship that is just ingrained. And if you're going to keep doing the same thing and expect a different result, well, it's not going to happen. This gerrymandering needs to stop. And voting for me as a Democrat who's a moderate, who is closer to the middle and wants to speak to both sides, that's really where the people of the 75th need to go to do something different to change this up. When you get people to the far right or to the far left, you get 160 days of the legislature not meeting and trying to score political points in the news rather than being down in Madison and talking and working. You'll see that, you know, when Republicans vote, they vote along the party line. There isn't a lot of change because it is so gerrymandered. And even though they only got 44.1% of the vote, they've got 64% of the seats. And so, again, if you want things to change, you as a voter need to make that change happen, because continuing this cycle and expecting something different, it's just not going to happen. I want to go. I want to work for you. I want to work for those people, for most of us who are in the middle, that want to find solutions. And I've enjoyed doing that my whole life.
Well, we've come this far in the show. We haven't talked about COVID-19 yet. It's probably about time. Wisconsin experiencing record levels of positive coronavirus cases and hospitalizations last month. Another new record yesterday, or 2 days ago. The average number of cases has tripled in the past month. In the past 3 days, 65 people have died from COVID-19 in the state. That's a record for a three-day period. That brings the total number of deaths up to more than 1,300 and the confirmed number of cases to over 120,000. It's a lot of numbers, but those numbers are people. And Felicity has sent us an email asking two questions, and we'll give them to you both at the same time. You can answer them together. So, do you support the continuing of a statewide mask mandate for as long as necessary to stop the spread of COVID-19? And do you support the governor's effort to name businesses with two or more COVID-positive employees? John Ellison, let's start with you. What measures would you support as a legislator in response to the pandemic?
Well, I look at this really quite uniquely because we have three defenses against this deadly virus. And this is the fight we're in. And that's what people have to understand, that this is the fight. We don't like it, but we're in it. And it's here in Wisconsin. You think about 2,700 people, 2,400 people, 67 deaths. We're in it, and it is taking off right now. There are three things you can do. You can wear a mask, you can social distance, and you can sanitize. And I look at it, I break it down as, all right, you're the defensive coordinator for the Packers, and you have three defenses. And are you going to use all three, or are you just going to use two of them, or are you just going to use one of them? We're in this together. We have to work amongst ourselves to figure this out. It is taking off. In Barron County alone, 22.6% of our population is 65 and older. 80% of the deaths nationwide are 65 and older. That's 165,000 65 and older seniors. We have to do it for them. It's amazing. I go to school, and the kids wear masks. Kindergarten kids wear masks. We ask more of a five-year-old than we do of adults. And if you'd have told me 2 decades ago, yeah, you're going to get jackets out of zippers and you're going to tie shoes and this year you're going to help a kid put a mask on, I wouldn't believe it. But that's the fight we're in. So I'm going to help a kid put a mask on, and I'm going to help that kid be safe and their classroom be safe and when they go home to be safe. This is the fight we're in. We have to do our part.
To Felicity's question, do you support the governor's effort to name businesses with two or more COVID-positive employees?
It's interesting because that's the whole HIPAA law and what we deal with at school and not knowing who has it and who doesn't. I think it's a touchy subject. because you want to protect someone's privacy, and yet you don't want to, you know, expose people that aren't. I would hope that businesses would do the right thing and shut down if they had two more or more employees that were sick. As far as if this is what the governor has to do to keep people safe, then let's do it. It's not that hard. If a five-year-old can sit all day wearing a mask, go out onto the playground, run around with a mask on, and come back in and be ready to learn, we can do that. So if that's what the governor needs, you know what? I can do that. I can do that. So, yeah, I do support that.
David Armstrong, some of your fellow Republicans have said Governor Tony Evers is going too far with the mask mandate and other mandates he's put forth. Where are you on the mask mandate, and where are you on the governor's effort to name businesses with two or more COVID-positive employees?
Sure. Since, I guess, the whole COVID pandemic has hit, I've worked with over 300 businesses up here just to try to keep them going. It started originally with the original shutdown from, now mandatory shutdown, of working with the businesses to try to figure out, number one, how do we get them back open within the parameters of the shutdown, because you had this essential versus non-essential designation that was placed on businesses. So the first two and a half months of the pandemic, that's all we did was work with businesses, try to keep them going, try to keep them open. You know, and that's the one thing we impressed upon the businesses early on is, if you're going to get going, and if you want people to come back, you're going to have to make them feel safe to come back. So that's what we concentrated on, was the masking, the sanitizing, the social distancing, and how to deliver their goods or services, products, et cetera, within those parameters. Luckily, at this point, it works so far, because we haven't had any bankruptcies. Now, mind you, we've got a handful of them I can name that have said I'm done, and they've got their businesses up for sale as a result of COVID. But, you know, knock on wood, we haven't had any go belly up yet. Conversely, though, that was part of the winners and the losers of COVID so far from the business standpoint, is you had those that were deemed essential. They were the vast winners of this situation. Record profits, record numbers, and that led to a lot of problems. You know, one in Rice Lake, I got a call from a mattress retailer about three blocks away from Menards. You know, like, he said, I can't open and sell mattresses, but you can go into Menards and buy mattresses. I get it. So, I mean, a lot of this was rigged towards the larger producers or larger retailers at that point, and inherently not fair. Now, with his situation, we were able to work through Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation and get him classified as essential, because he was selling mattresses for people on Medicare and Medicaid. So it worked. But I guess back to the situation, you're not going to find any business that really wants to thrive at this point if they're not going along with the mask mandate and making people feel comfortable. All right. From my standpoint, I 100% support businesses' ability to set the mask, and then it's up to me whether I'm going to choose whether I'm going to go in there or not. Typically, I'm going to go in there. I've got masks. All right. From the governor's standpoint, has he been overreaching? The big problem I had early on was with the treat everybody as the same. All right. You had early on, the positives were going higher than heck in both Madison and Milwaukee, where up here we weren't hit at all. So we were looking for some easing of the regulations. Well, that didn't happen. You know, at this point, I don't think the legislature has any thought of going back in and trying to undo the mandates of the governor. I think, if I remember correctly, there's a court case or something next to us here in Polk County that I guess is taking it on, but I haven't seen what the makeup of that court case is. So,
what do you think of the governor's attempts to name businesses that have had two or more positives?
Yeah, that I don't like, to be honest with you, because it's almost blackmail to a great degree. I know our public health department has started naming businesses in there with, and I can see both parts of it, though, because, I mean, the public health wants to put it out as, all right, these places were known to have positives, to stay away from them. But is that really necessary, the way to go, to stay away from them? Are the positives, is it still in there? Is it not in there? It's kind of a slippery slope when you get to that standpoint of starting to name businesses.
In the wake of the incidents involving George Floyd in Minneapolis, Jacob Blake in Kenosha, other events around the nation, police funding and reform has come to the forefront. Stances vary from those who back the badge to those who support defunding the police, and a spectrum of views in between. John Ellenson, describe your stance on the issue of policing, if you would.
Well, that incident of George Floyd and watching him ask for his mother, it's just heart-wrenching. And I listened to his last few minutes reread out loud by a young woman in Barron, and it was just heart-wrenching, and that's how most of us saw that incident. I just came out with a press release about backing the police, and in my line of work, I've had to work with the police, I've had to work with the FBI, and I'm always thankful that they're there. I'm always surprised at everything that we ask the police to do, and I think that's what we need to support them in other avenues. Certainly, we need, cameras on police, and we need protective equipment and training and things like that. But we also need those services that now we put on them. We do need mental health care. We're working on that. We've worked on that for the last 3-4 years in schools, and it's been really good for us and really good for the community. But we need more of that. I think about firefighters, having my family been firefighters and what they've done, and what we ask on local fire departments, how we ask them to sacrifice and give and get up at 1 a.m. and go to double calls and then expect them to go to work and work hard, and they do, because that's who they are. But we need to help them. We need to help our local communities, and we do that by funding them.
Thank you.
David
Armstrong, you're a member, and we're about a minute away, if you could. You're a member of the Law Enforcement Foundation in Barron County. Talk about where you stand in the recent political standoff on policing reform.
Sure. Right now, Wisconsin already has a set of standards. I think it's 720 hours that individuals have to go through to be, quote, certified as a law enforcement officer. And then there's 24 hours continuing education they need to do each year. I've looked through all, I think, was it 9 of the bills that the Evers administration had put out there that they wanted passed. And, you know, a number of them called for, we need training. We've already got the training requirements in there. We need additional training. In fact, we, as Law Enforcement Foundation, we tried to bring the mental health aspect of it up here 2 years ago and just couldn't quite put together the funding for it. So short answer is absolutely not defund the police. It's essential to everything that we do here is safety and community. But we do need to bring that mental health training in here, maybe some mental health aspects of it as well as far as personnel goes. So I'd look for the legislature to start at the subcommittee or the committee level and do an in-depth look at what needs to be done to policing.
David Armstrong, John Ellenson, thank you for joining us for our debate today in the 75th Assembly District.
Thank you very much.
Yep, thank you.
Catherine Thomas pulled together today's show as producer and call screener. Paul Damberg and Brittany Williams helped us with the technology today. Kate Spranger, Allison Wade, and Patrick Eikens managed publicity and archives. And Sue Johnson and Bonnie Clark are our transcriptionists. Next week on the West Side, join us for an update on COVID-19 in western Wisconsin, while Robin Washington returns on Simply Superior with a 74th Assembly District debate. I'm Dean Kallenbach, and you're listening to Wisconsin Public Radio.